You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even a tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. Tonight, I would like to talk about God's royal way. God's royal way. You know, God introduced this to us quite a few years ago. He introduced us to patience, waiting, trusting, but most of all, faith in Him. God's royal way is the way His Will Ministry is operated. You will find something interesting about our ministry. Surf our website, www.HisWillMinistry.org, or our sister ministry, www.GlobalPrayerWarriors.org, and you'll notice that there is no place to make an offering. Because we believe in God's royal way. We believe in God's way of provision. We believe that God is in control and not ourselves, and therefore we don't need to worry about what is going to be coming up next, because God is worrying about that. And that's where, as a Christian today, every one of us needs to get to. We need to get to the point where we're not worried about tomorrow. Jesus said, "Why do you worry about tomorrow when today has enough worries for itself?" The Father knows the hairs on your head. The Father knows when a sparrow drops to the ground. You don't need to reach out and worry about tomorrow. You need to take care of today and let Him handle tomorrow. And that's the way we operate at His Will Ministry. We're here to serve. We're here to pray for you if you need it. Feel free to email us. Feel free to call our 24-hour prayer line. And if we don't answer that prayer line, you leave a message. And if you leave us your phone number, we will call you back. We're here for you to serve. We're here to spread the gospel. We're here to teach the truth. And that's why I want to talk to you today about God's royal way. Let's start in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 11. Now, this is where Jesus is praying. And in verse 11, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." What was Jesus asking here? The first thing Jesus was asking here is for his disciples to remain as one with the Father and with the Son. Do you have that oneness relationship? Let's drop down to verse 21. Verse 21 says, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." God's royal way, part of God's royal way, is for us to be one with Him. Let's go on to verse 22. "And that the glory which thou gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one." You know, if you've ever read Jesus' final prayer in John, you realize that Jesus is praying not just for His apostles, not just for the church, but He is praying for those that will come after Him, those that the apostles will bring into the kingdom of heaven. That's who Jesus is praying for. You and I. You and I. And Jesus is asking, "Father, make them one. Just because I'm leaving the world, Father, make them one with you as you and I have been. That is one of the keys to God's royal way. You want God's royal way to work in your life? You have to live as one with Jesus. You can't be on your own. You can't be self-willed. You can't be, as the popular saying has always been, doing your own thing. We must be about the Father's business. That's what it's all about. It is not about you and I. It is about the glory of God and us shining that through to this world. Take a look around you. Just take a simple look around you. Flip the channels if you have cable. Flip the over-the-air TV. Turn on your radio. Take a second to look at the world around you and what is happening. As I sit here with this program to you, I can see what's happening. The world is getting darker and darker and darker. And unless we today get off our posteriors and get on the road, the right road, to follow the Lord, unless we start looking for the ancient ways, the good ways, we're going to be caught up in that. Take a look at the congregation you belong to. Take a look at the churches that are out there. Take a look at the different ministries. A real hard, hard look. And you will see growing more and more a darkness. If it is not in God's Word, if it's not in the manufacturer's handbook, it's not supposed to be. And anyone that tells you God is doing a new thing, you should answer him, God said, I am that I am. That doesn't mean I was and I will be and I'm changing my mind. God's unchanging. We're told twice in the Bible, do not add to or do not remove from this word. And the Bible lists plagues that will happen because we do. God's royal way is for you and I to be in the will of the Lord. You want to see fire come down? You want to see things happen in your life? You get into God's royal way. You follow the three requests of Jesus. Be one with me. Be one with me. Be one with me. God has shown me over the years that if there's anything that He has that is truly important, He will show it to us in threes. You go through and study your Bible, and you're going to find that in your Bible, if there's some important verse, some key to the kingdom, something that's important to your life, He will show you. He will bring it out in three different places, as distinct as can be. God has His ways. What number is the number of God? Three. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Makes perfect logical sense that God would show us in the threes. Here in John 17:11, John 17:21, John 17:22, Jesus says that we are to be one. And what He is asking, He's asking the Father, saying, Father, make them one as we're one. So if we're not one with the Lord, if we're not walking day to day, that's the first place we need to get to be into God's royal way. You want your prayers answered? You want your prayers answered? Get close to Jesus. You want to see miracles in your lives and healings? Get down and get close to Jesus and get in His Word and hold Him to it. I'm going to tell you a true story. Our little niece is going on 3 years old. At 6 months old, they couldn't figure out why our niece was not growing. It turned out that she had a hole in her heart. And one of the major arteries was connected to the wrong side of her heart. It was a birth defect that no one had caught. The doctors immediately said that it was a miracle that she lived that long to start with. But every ounce of effort that her heart could put out was keeping her alive, because she was recirculating bad blood with the good oxygenated blood, and with the hole in her heart, she wasn't maintaining proper pressure. Before they could even operate on this little girl, she had to gain 5 pounds. She was so skinny at 6 months that they were afraid to even operate on her. Now, this is how God works. He laid it upon this ministry to start a fast. And we started fasting and praying. And about halfway through that fast, He laid it on our hearts to start holding him to his word. So we literally printed out every scripture we could find where healing was involved. Jehovah Rapha, God is the great healer. And we prayed. And our prayer warrior, my wife, who's in charge of our prayer team, she prayed those out loud to God, and she claimed them, and she told him boldly, "This is your word." On the night of the 17th day of the fast, she was crying out to the Lord, and paraphrasing, the Lord said to her, "That's enough. I've heard you." And from that day forth, she did not have a burden in her heart. Now, I continued to fast through the operation. The doctors had told my lovely wife's sister that it would take a minimum of 5 to 6 hours for this operation. Now, we're talking open heart surgery, major open heart surgery. They said that even if the surgery was successful, she would never, ever be normal. They said that she would be on heart medicines for the rest of her life. You know how long that operation took? I was still fasting on the 21st day when they operated on her, and it took less than 2.5 hours. And when that child came out, she was out of the hospital in 5 days. That child now is not on any heart medications. She is growing like a weed, and you, without looking at her chest, could never, ever tell there was anything wrong with her. Every single time she goes to the doctors, the doctor turns around and grabs her and cries and says she's his little miracle baby. God still heals. God still works miracles. But we have to be willing to let him do it. We have to be willing to follow God's royal way. We have to be one with Jesus, but we have to go further than that. Let's jump over to Luke. I want to look at Luke chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 27. But there's a key here, what I like to call kingdom keys. God shows me these, and that's the purpose of this program, is to share these kingdom keys with you and to encourage you to study the Word, to get into this Bible. This is the manufacturer's handbook. It was created with one thing in mind, for us to learn how to serve our Lord and to work the system. I know that's a harsh way of saying it, but God has promises in here, and we need to hold him to them. Now let's look. Luke chapter 6. Verse 27, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smite you on one cheek, offer the other, and him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take away the shirt also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and him that taketh away your goods, ask him not again. And as you would that man should you do, do also to them likewise." You know the old saying, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. That's exactly where it came from. Bible trivia question, if you're ever asked, look, tell them it comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 31. "For if you love them which love you, what good is it? What do you deserve? What thank have you? For sinners even love those that love them. And if you do good to them, which do good to you, what thank do you have? For even sinners do good to those that do good to them. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners lend to other sinners and expect interest back. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to unthankful and the evil." In other words, God's even kind to the evil. He's still wanting them to come to him, no matter how bad they are, how many mistakes they make. "Be you therefore merciful as your Father's merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure with which you give, it shall be measured unto you. This is what I call a harsh teaching. Because I don't know about you, but one of the hardest things I had to do as a young man was to learn to love my enemy. And it's hard enough to learn to love your enemy, but when someone does harm to you, you have to pray for them. That's a hard teaching. But these are part of the kingdom's keys. But the one I want to look at with you today has to do with God's royal way. All of these are part of God's royal way. Jesus told us, when asked, what was the greatest commandment? Jesus said what? He said, first, love your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Every one of these in here can be summed up as that. You wouldn't want to lend yourself money at high usury, would you? If you needed a coat, wouldn't you give it to yourself? You'd go out and get one. Wouldn't you want someone to do good to you? You'd do good to yourself, aren't you? But let's go back down to verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. The word there for forgiven means to release or let go. Now, it's kind of interesting that Jesus goes through all of these things about what you should do, and the last thing he says before he talks about giving is he says, release, and you shall be released. This is a key to God's royal way. How many times has something happened in your life and you refuse to let it go? Think about it. How can God help you when you're in control of a situation? How can God bless you when you refuse to let go of control of something? I don't know how many of you have ever read any of the books by Harold Hill, but I love some of his stories. He has a down-home way of looking at things. And there was a time in his life where his daughter had problems. And what happened was that she took an overdose of aspirin. Not just a few, but a whole bottle of aspirin. And during that period of time, when they found her, they took her immediately to the hospital, and the hospital said, we don't have the ability to help her. So they drove her to Bethesda Medical Center, and when they got there, the doctor said she'll be dead by morning. Her body acid had already started to rise. The aspirin had been absorbed into her system, and medically there was absolutely nothing any human being could do to stop the progression of death. Now, Hill and his wife, they immediately got on their knees and they started praying. But have you ever prayed this way? Lord, you have to do this. You will do this. This is the way it must be done. That's what they were doing. This is our daughter. You will heal her. She's our daughter, and we can't take this, and we're claiming it and naming it, and you will do this. You're going to do it because we've told you to. What do you think the outcome of that prayer was? The interesting thing is both he and his wife at the same time heard the Lord speak to him. And it took hours. They were praying for hours before the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord said to him in a still, quiet voice, whose daughter is it? And Hill arrogantly said, it's my daughter, and you'll heal her. And the Lord basically said, if she's your daughter, prepare for a funeral. If she's my daughter, prepare for a miracle. You get the point here, what God was saying. Hill and his wife were holding on to the situation so tight, telling God what he must do, they never bothered to realize that every single one of us that call ourselves Christians belong first to Jesus. We're no longer in control of our lives. If we are, we're not following what Jesus wants. We're not living his royal way. But if we give ourselves to him, release it, then God can do what God wants to do. And that's basically what God said. Well, I'll tell you the rest of the story Hill and his wife got down on their knees and were releasing her all over the place. She's yours, Lord. Forgive us for screwing her up. Forgive us for messing her life. Forgive us for making things wrong. We made a mess out of her. You can see how bad a job we did. By morning, her medical condition had completely reversed. In the morning, Hill went by, and she was healing. At noon, he went by, and she was just almost perfect. After work, he went by, and they were getting ready to release her. But because they couldn't believe in miracles, they kept her for another several weeks trying to figure out medically what had happened to her. This is the kingdom key. The words here, Jesus says, he says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Release, and you shall be released. Let's jump over to Matthew 16:19. As I told you earlier, God says things three times. Matthew 16:19. Jesus is just talking to Peter. Peter has just confess that he is the Christ. And Jesus says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, let's jump over to Matthew 18:18. Here Jesus says, truly, the word verily in the King James, for those that don't know, means in Greek, a truism. This is a truism. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, as a young Christian, those verses drove me nuts. I had no idea. I couldn't conceive of what they might mean. I'm like, what do you mean? What am I loosing? What am I binding? What am I holding on to? The Greek word here that Jesus was trying to express, he said, whatever you chain up on earth is going to remain chained in heaven. Whatever you unchain or unlock on earth is going to remain unlocked on heaven. What that means is the same thing he said in Luke. If we hold on to a situation, God can't work in it. If we activate our self-will and we control that situation, God isn't going to override your will. God has never overridden anyone's will. It's been a free will that they'd worked for him, free will that they followed him. They made their own choice. Now, I have to admit, God's been pretty persuasive to some people in the Bible and myself. But it was my free will and theirs to do it. Think about the situations you've been in where God has answered your prayers the most. They have been the ones where you have let it go and said, God, you take control. It is your royal way. The ones that he can't work in is when you hang on to it and you go to fix it. And when you hang on to it and go to fix it, he won't interfere with your will. You have to release it to him. God's royal way is releasing your life to him. This ministry has been released to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Our fates are in his hands, his will. It's not ours. And that's one reason you'll see some of the differences in this ministry, because we believe it is God's will that must be done. And our battle cry is where those people came to Jesus and they said, Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? Didn't we do healings in your name? Didn't we do these things in your name? And what did Jesus say? Go away. I know you not. You did not do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that Jesus Christ and the Father receive the glory with the Holy Spirit. The will of the Father is that you and I that wear the name of Christian live a holy life. The will of the Father is that we tell people about Jesus Christ, even if we just tell them, look what Jesus did for me today. But Jesus can't do it for you today if you won't release it to him. Now, as we go into the weeks coming up, we'll be talking more and more about the kingdom keys, more and more about God's royal way. But I've given you some meat today, and I want you to chew on it. I want you to get into the Word. I want you to read this Word, and I want you to let God speak to you about these Scriptures. Scriptures we've done today is John 17:11, 17:21, 17:22, Luke chapter 6, 27 through 38, Matthew 16:19 and 18:18. These are keys to the kingdom, and feel free to email me your comments or your questions. As I always tell everyone, check it out. Get into the Word and check it out, and you're going to be surprised what God's royal way will do for your life. God's royal way will make your life beautiful. He will change the way you look at things. He will open up avenues that you've never conceived of. Never, ever conceived of. He will open doors and take you places that you can't even dream of if you'll only step out in faith and go, go, go. Try it. God's royal way. It's the only way for the end days. God bless, and we're praying for you.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.